you sometimes panic when you get out of the boat and you see the waves crashing all around you? Who doesn't? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned, relax, because here we go. Can you tell I'm fired up about today's program? I'll tell you what. This gospel from today's Mass is one of my favorites. We will talk about what it's like to get out of the boat, following Jesus, walking on water temporarily, and then beginning to sink. That is a feeling that many of us know all too well, but we're going to really look at it in depth and look at what we can do to feel better or to strengthen our faith in these times of trial. And then if we have time, and I think we will have time, we will also open the Imitation of Christ and look at how we should call upon God and bless Him in time of tribulation. Pretty interesting that these two topics go so nicely hand in hand, and I really didn't pick them out to coincide with one another. It just works out when I let the Holy Spirit do His thing. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. It's great to be back with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. You know, can you believe that this program has been on the air for over 5 years now? We're in our sixth year of doing this show on Blog Talk Radio, and now it's expanded to iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well, so it's on a number of different platforms. I'm really blessed to be able to do this, and I'm blessed to have you as a listener. I want to remind you that tomorrow I'll be doing my weekly segment on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show, and that segment is Walking with the Lord. We're going to talk about a Bible passage from the book of Lamentations. Yes, that's one of those books that you don't normally refer to that much, but I think you're going to enjoy this. That's at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on the EWTN Radio Network on the Sunrise Morning Show. Hope you can tune into that. Tomorrow evening, I will be on Immaculate Heart Radio. So if you are a listener of the Immaculate Heart Radio Network, I'll give you more details about the program. I'm not even sure of the time, but it'll be sometime, I think it'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you listen to Immaculate Heart Radio, my friend Chris Franklin is guest hosting one of the evening programs there, and she has invited me to join in and talk about anxiety. So if you listen to Immaculate Heart Radio, you can be able to check that out as well. And let's see, the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat is taking place at Malvern Retreat House this weekend. It begins on Friday. We still have a few remaining spots left, so if you're interested, please go to followingthetruth.com and click on the image for the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat and make it a point to sign up today. I really think you're going to like it, especially if you're someone who has a tendency to worry. That's who this retreat is geared toward. It's geared toward worriers. And I really think you're going to be able to, you'll enjoy that if you will be there. I'll be doing five brand new talks. I just arranged that we'll do Eucharistic Adoration on Friday evening. We will have Mass. We'll have a priest come in to do Mass on Friday evening. And then on Saturday morning, we'll have confessions. And then we'll have Mass for the vigil on Saturday evening again. So it's going to be a great weekend. We did this last year, and I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Malvern Retreat House in the Philadelphia suburbs. After that, I'm going to get home, hop in the car, and head up to Boston, Massachusetts, where I'll be speaking on Monday evening at St. Stephen's Parish in Framingham, Massachusetts. So if you're in the area, if you know where that is, please stop by and say hello. There is no charge to get in, and I will be speaking about the Blessed Mother. The name of the talk is What If Mary Said No? I also want to let you know that I do still have two openings for Lenten Parish Missions. So if you want to bring me in to speak at your parish, please do so soon. These openings there, what's happening is I'm getting a lot of interest recently in people who are trying to book parish missions for Lent 2017. And it's going to get even more frantic, I believe, next month when everybody gets back from vacation. So please, if you want to bring me in to speak, please do so. It's soon. And I also have one opening left for a parish mission for Advent in 2016. And of course, I can do single dates. I could do quite a few single dates anytime I have some openings in 2016 and 2017. Just let me know when you want me to come in. Visit followingthetruth.com. Check out some of my videos. You can contact me through the website or you can just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Thank you again for your donations. You're the reason that I'm staying on the air. Thank you for your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee from my website. Thank you for using the link on my website to go to Amazon.com for all of your Amazon purchases. All of these ways help me to be able to continue my full-time ministry and to fund this program. The one last piece of news I want to mention is Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary. I put out some initial information about it yesterday. Stay tuned for more. It begins here on September the 4th, which is a Sunday. This year, I'm doing the best of the best. I'm taking all of the different consecration preparation methods that I have at my disposal, and I'm going to come up with my own version based on the guidelines laid down by St. Louis de Montfort. I really think you're going to like this. I want it to be fresh. I want it to be dynamic. I don't want us to become a little lax because we're so familiar with the prayers that we've been doing every year. That happens. So I really want to keep it fresh. I don't want you to have to buy a book. To be honest with you, every year we do the book thing, and it's a hassle. Some of the books don't arrive, and it's always out of my control because I have other people sending the books out, and I send you to different sites to get the books. It doesn't work out. This year, you don't need a book. All you need to do is spend 30 minutes with me each Monday through Friday, 15 minutes Saturday and Sunday for that 33-day period, and we're going to get ready to consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary. It is a phenomenal devotion. If you've done it before, please join us to renew your devotion. That's what I'm doing. And if you've never done it, please consider consecrating your life for the first time. I'll be talking more about it. I will do a show. Tentatively, I'm thinking this Thursday will be a show dedicated to total consecration. I want to get the word out there, let everybody know. You may know what it is, but not everybody knows what it is. I want people to really understand what total consecration is all about. So therefore, I want to do a show and have a link to it. So when I put the word out there, I'll have a show to refer to. So as of right now, Thursday of this week will be the show about total consecration. Stay tuned for more information. There is no cost. There's no need to sign up. I do recommend you get on my email mailing list in case I decide to put an email out. It's the easiest thing to do. Just go to followingthetruth.com and look on the right-hand side, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see. Would you like to sign up for Gary's email mailing list or Gary's newsletter? I forget how it's worded. Put your email address in there, and you'll be all set. You do that, and I'll be able to contact you. You'll get an email back in return. Click on the link there so my email service knows that you're a real person, and then you'll be all set. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, that's a lot of talking. I need to take one more sip of my coffee today. That's what I have in my Mystic Monk official drinking mug. I have some wonderful Mystic Monk coffee. Delicious. Let's get ready to pray, and then we're going to talk about these awesome, fantastic Mass readings from today's Mass. Let's recall that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and let's turn our attention to Him, and let's picture Him looking at us with His loving gaze. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants to give us all of the good things that we need. He really does. So let's turn to Him, tell Him we love Him, and ask for what it is we need. Sound good? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Thank you for the gift of a new day. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating all the individuals in our life that are special to us, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our acquaintances, the people who have helped us in any way. You have created all of them, Father, and we thank you for that. Thank you for letting the sun rise today. Thank you for letting the world continue to turn. Father, we ask you to help us to stay on the road, which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with you. Please help us to keep walking on that road. Please grant us the strength that we need to boldly live and proclaim our faith. We ask you to bless and protect and help anyone who is sick tonight, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is anxious, anyone who struggles with doubt or despair, anyone who is dealing with financial difficulties, anyone facing religious persecution, anyone who is homeless or homebound. Father, we ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion. Please guide our government officials so that they may always do your will. Please bring about peace in the world. Father, we ask you to accept our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And I give you this program, Father in heaven, and I ask you to bless it. I ask you to speak through me. I ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to your message. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we do each day, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Peter Julian Aimard, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me once again here on the Gary Zimak Show. Today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Peter Julian Aimard. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was born in 1811 in France, and he struggled against his father's virulent, wow, that's a tough word, anti-clericalism to begin studies for the priesthood. Eventually, he entered the Marist order. In 1856, he founded the Congregation of the Blessed Sacrament. The priests devoted themselves to adoration and catechizing adults, many of them unemployed, who had not received First Communion. In later years, Peter suffered illness and criticism. He died in 1868. And he said this, "The inner gift of self is the real gift, because then our Lord becomes our Savior by giving us his own form of life." It's pretty deep. We ask him to pray for us, St. Peter Julian Aimard. It's great to hear these stories of the saints. They inspire us. They remind us that they didn't have an easy road. Sometimes we look at the saints, we look at ourselves, and we think, well, I wish I could do that, but I've got all these problems in my life. But in reality, they had more, at least as many problems, generally speaking, more than we did, and they were still able to become a saint. So it gives us all hope, and it gives us people to turn to help us, and that's what the saints can do for us. All right, let's take a look at these readings now from Tuesday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. One thing we want to keep in mind is that these are tough times in which Jeremiah prophesies. Not a lot good is going on here. The people have strayed from the Lord, and they're being punished. We see this throughout the Old Testament. Eventually, things will get back on track. And this is a message we see throughout the Bible. The people stray. The Lord makes things difficult for them. They eventually repent, and they turn back to the Lord, and things go better for them. It's a very general, it's a simplistic message, but it's a message that we want to keep in mind for our lives. Doesn't mean that as soon as you start sinning, God's going to punish you by letting all bad things happen to you. But what it reminds you of is the fact that one day you're going to be accountable for everything you do, or for everything that you should do and you don't do. You're going to be accountable for that. The Lord is giving us ample opportunity. He allows things to happen in our life. He allows people to speak to us. He allows circumstances to unfold, all designed to get us back on the right track so that we keep on the path which will lead to heaven. I know in my life, I've seen it happen many times where I've gotten off the path and unpleasant things happen to me, but the Lord knows that when the unpleasant things happen to me, as is the case with many people, I turn back to him. And that's exactly his reason for doing what he does. So keep that in mind when you're reading this first reading. This is from Jeremiah, beginning in chapter 30, verse 1. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For thus says the Lord, incurable is your wound, grievous your bruise. There is none to plead your cause, no remedy for your running sore, no healing for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. I struck you as an enemy would strike, punished you cruelly. Why cry out over your wound? Your pain is without relief. Because of your great guilt, your numerous sins, I have done this to you. Thus says the Lord, see, I will restore the tents of Jacob. His dwellings I will pity. City shall be rebuilt upon hill, and palace restored as it was. From them will resound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will make them not few, but many. They will not be tiny, for I will glorify them. His son shall be as of old. His assembly before me shall stand firm. I will punish all his oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own, and his rulers shall come from his kin. When I summon him, he shall approach me. How else should one take the deadly risk of approaching me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You know, the message here is, we look at this reading, we put it into its proper context, and we recall that the people at that time are still waiting for the Savior. And even though they're going to go through difficult times, eventually, the Savior will come and redeem them. The same goes for us. We have been redeemed. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago. He suffered, he died, he rose from the dead to redeem us, to open up the gates of heaven. But that doesn't guarantee that we get there. What we need to do now is cooperate with this grace he gives us. He's going to help us. He's going to give us what we need to make it to heaven. But we need to cooperate. We need to take the grace. We need to request the grace. We need to put it into practice in our lives in order that we're able to get to heaven and achieve our salvation. There's a difference between redemption and salvation. We have already been redeemed, but we are still working out, as St. Paul said, our salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, it's something that we need to work at. So keep that in mind. You have a place reserved for you in your Heavenly Father's mansion in heaven. Jesus said that. But you got to make sure that you get there. And that's where it gets challenging. That's where you have to be praying every day. That's where you really have to be trying your best in conjunction with using the grace that the Lord gives you. Psalm 102, it's a hopeful psalm. The Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. The nations shall revere your name, O Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. When the Lord has rebuilt Zion and appeared in his glory, when he has regarded the prayers of the destitute and not despised their prayer, let this be written for the generation to come, and let his future creatures praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height. From heaven he beheld the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to release those doomed to die. The children of your servants shall abide, and their posterity shall continue in your presence. That the name of the Lord may be declared on Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples gather together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. So there's that reminder. Look, you know, we look at the world and recognize the fact that the world is a bit of a crazy place. It's not perfect. Well, it's not supposed to be. That's what heaven is. So when we become frustrated by the challenges in our life, and also the challenges that we see every time we go on the internet, look at the news, we realize that one day everything will be perfect. Everything will be perfect. At the second coming of the Lord, at the end of the world, the evil one's going to be destroyed, and the kingdom will be officially presented by Jesus to his Father. And even before then, possibly, depending on when that happens, if you die, it's still possible for you to go to heaven and live in total paradise. So that this world is not perfect, and I think accepting that is going to take a lot of the pressure off of you, and it'll allow you to focus more on heavenly things than on earthly things, because you spend too much time trying to achieve pleasure here, in addition to getting burned out because there's only so much pleasure you can get in this life, you'll lose focus on what's really important. And that's why I do this show. That's why so many speakers and authors, Christian speakers and authors, do what they do, because we want you to remember that there is more to life than what you see here. We got to keep our eye on the prize, that prize, of course, being heaven. All right, today's gospel, love this one. One of my favorites. I read it all the time when I speak at my talks around the country. It's from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea. While he dismissed the crowds, after doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. All right, you know this is one of my favorite gospel narratives. I love the story. Let's try to go through it a little bit. And if you're someone who suffers from anxiety, if you're someone who struggles with worry, you need to really bookmark this particular passage. You need to highlight it. You need to do whatever you can and read it over and over again, because it's such a great story. Okay, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea. So what Jesus is doing here is setting up the disciples for a pretty harrowing experience. He's going to have them in the boat. He won't be with them, and he knows what they're going to do. They're going to panic. After doing so, what did he do? He went up the mountain by himself to pray. This, as an aside, is one of the great examples that Jesus gives us about how important it is to spend time in prayer. Each day, you should be spending some time in prayer with the Lord. Jesus was alone. The boat was a few miles offshore. So the disciples are offshore. They're in a bit of a tricky situation. And the boat was being tossed about by the waves. The wind was against it. This is during the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. So it's really dark. These guys have been out there for a while. They're getting tossed around by the waves. And suddenly, Jesus came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples first saw him, they didn't recognize him, similar to when you and I don't acknowledge or recognize the presence of Jesus in our own lives. They panic. They think it's a ghost. They cry out for fear. And what does Jesus tell them? "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, note that he's not saying, "Take courage, I'm going to calm the waves. Take courage, I'm going to get you off of this boat." He simply says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." What's the message there? The message there is that the presence of Jesus in your life is enough to help you overcome fear. Does that mean you always will not be afraid? No. But this is something that you should be working on. How do you work on it? You can't just make yourself not feel fear. You've got to work on this by getting to know Jesus better. And the more you get to know Jesus, the closer you walk with him each day, the more you encounter him in your daily experiences, the less fear you will begin to feel. And that's just what happens. That's what happens when you hang out with the Prince of Peace. So Jesus said that to them, and then Peter said in reply, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "All right, come." Now, Peter was trying to discern, is this really the Lord? And Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you. And this is so many times we try to discern the same thing, don't we? We try to discern, Lord, are you asking me to do this? Is this something I should be doing? Do you really want me to do this? Let me know what you think, Lord. So Peter was discerning this, and the Lord appeared to him, and he said, yeah, it is me. Come to me. Peter began to do something that is technically not possible, and certainly a fisherman would know this, and that's to walk on the water. But Peter did it, trusting at that moment in Jesus, that with Jesus, it'd be possible to do this. He does it, and then he takes his eye off of Jesus, focuses on the waves, and what happens? He begins to sink. He begins to sink, and he cries out in panic, "Lord, save me." And at that point, what Jesus does immediately, he doesn't wait, he stretches out his hand, saves him, caught him, and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And this is the reminder for us. If you're in a jam, if you are facing some sort of a big problem in your life, always, always, always make sure to cry out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, save me." Now, if you're overly panicked, and in Peter's case, what happened was he really didn't trust Jesus enough. He should have known that Jesus was able to save him from anything, but he did. So Jesus saved him, and then he said, "You have little faith. What's the problem with you?" But it's a true statement. Why should Peter have doubted? He needed to hear that. And that message is really directed to each one of us, but that doesn't mean that the Lord won't save you. You see that distinction? Just because you doubt, it's a weakness on your part, but he'll still save you. You need to continue to trust him. You need to continue to try to walk on the water, because this is one of the ways that your faith grows. You should ask for an increase in faith every day, because faith is a gift. But one of the greatest ways that our faith grows stronger is by exercising the faith that we have. So if we know by faith that Jesus will protect us, that Jesus will provide for us, that Jesus will always be there for us, sometimes we have to exercise that faith and say, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to actually do something that shows I believe that the Lord will be there with me. And that's how our faith grows. He saved Peter. The wind eventually died down, and it impressed those who were in the boat, and they were astonished. And this is, again, one of the ways that the Lord works in our life to increase our faith, by showing us his incredible power. Again, that's one of my favorite stories. Spent a little more time on it than I wanted to. I don't have time to get into the imitation of Christ today. But essentially, what we were going to talk about is how we should call upon the Lord in time of trouble. I'll just tell you quickly. "What shall I say now, Lord, in the midst of my distress?" This is from the Imitation of Christ. "May your will be done, for I well deserve to be afflicted and oppressed. I must bear it, and with patience, until the storm has passed and things grow better. Your almighty hand is able to remove whatever temptation I'm facing and to moderate its violence, as you have often done for me before, so that I do not give in to it, most merciful God. The harder this seems to me, the easier it is for you to bring about my deliverance. For this is the change of the right hand of the Almighty, to whom be everlasting honor and glory." So, briefly, and I just went into a little bit of our lesson from the Imitation of Christ. If you're facing a storm, such as a temptation in your life right now, or a financial crisis, or some sort of other crisis, make sure you cry out to the Lord. He's bigger than that crisis, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. He is bigger than it, and he wants you to cry out to him. That's what Peter did. You see what happened to Peter, and you'll see the same thing happen in your life. Okay, that's all the time I have. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow, and I would sure love it if you could join me. If you have any questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. And until we meet again, have yourself a wonderful night, and God bless you.